listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
How you been? How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm just working my slave job here.
Atta boy, you got Skype all set up, eh?
Finally.
Yeah, that didn't take you too long. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it worked out. So I guess this is a good way to communicate without, is this better than the phone or what?
This is the only way. This way I can record it too.
Aha.
That's the best thing. I like to record my conversations because other people like to eavesdrop on me. Eavesdrop. If you don't mind.
I don't know. I don't mind. I'm not quite done with my work day right now. When's the best time to get a hold of you, Ab?
Oh, well. What time zone are you in?
I'm in Central.
All right. I'm Eastern, man. Where are you in the world?
I'm in the St. Louis, Missouri area, the general vicinity.
All right, that's cool.
I'm a little further out west.
Yeah, I know. That's cool. Well, my schedule varies, but usually around this time I'm about an hour. I hit the highway to go home, and usually I have half an hour to chat. I use a program called TeamSpeak. That way I can use my cell phone and record the calls. We call that audio chatting.
Yeah, actually, you sound really good right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm on a headset right now. I just switched over from a speakerphone to a headset. But
okay, I'm just on an iPad, so.
Yeah.
Is it bad sound from me?
Actually, you sound good.
Okay.
But I discourage people from using
Apple products?
No, just iPads, because what happens is usually there's a lot of feedback because the microphone is near the speakers and then you get feedback and it sounds really bad. But you're okay. Obviously it's working for some reason.
Okay.
So that's cool. You're good. But you can probably download TeamSpeak as well and use that.
TeamSpeak?
Yeah, it's called TeamSpeak. I think it's a couple bucks as an app, but it's free on the computer.
All right. Well, hey, man, I listened to a bunch of your stuff. I mean,
thank you.
It's fascinating to me. I haven't really listened. I just listened to you a couple times. I hadn't listened for a long time.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then I listened to a couple that I think you were talking to some guy in like San Diego or something, the guy that thinks the Jews are behind everything.
Yeah, John Friend.
Yeah, I got a little uncomfortable with that conversation when you were asking him about his kid.
Well, I thought it was pretty ironic, almost hypocritical that.
No, I knew where you were going with that, but it was almost to the point of. I think John's all right. He's just, I don't know. I'm with you on that though. I don't like point out one group of people.
Yeah, but
there's got to be a lot more than just Jews involved with all this fakery, right?
Of course. And Jews have never been at the top. I've said it a million times, a million different ways that, when did they get to the top? What year was it? What year did they ascend to the very tip top?
Well, we know back when Christ died, the Romans were on top.
Well, that's what I thought.
Remember the Romans let the Romans were the ones who kind of appeased the Jews by, you know, going ahead and letting Christ die, or giving him his crucifixion or whatever. I'm somewhat of a Christian too. I guess I shouldn't say somewhat.
Yeah.
I think that name's kind of thrown around a lot though, right? Because being Christian means Christ-like, and I think that's a pretty big responsibility. I don't know if I call myself Christ-like.
Yeah.
But I believe in him, you know. I definitely believe in Christ as a historical figure, and that he definitely changed the world.
Well, you wouldn't be the first one. A lot of people do.
Where are you on that, Ab?
I'm agnostic, I would say.
Okay.
Totally agnostic. I just don't, I'm not a religious person. Not in the least.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a religious person to believe that. Because really it was the religious people that condemned Christ. Because that was their jobs on the line, right?
I suppose, right. Yeah, that's the story. I just don't know. I've never been part of organized religion. But I'm just by this research, you're dragged into learning about it, because it seems that a lot of the psyops are targeted towards Christians, because that's a very large belief system. And most psychological operations target people's belief systems. And if you don't have any, like, or are fairly devoid of belief systems like I am, then I'm not much of a target. Cause they're not trying to change my mind from one way to the other, cause I'm not one way. You see?
Yeah, no, I do get what you're saying. And I have frustration with some of my Christian brothers and sisters who don't see any of that, like, are completely, like, they get caught up in this hating ISIS or whatever, which me and you probably think ISIS as a whole is a fictional or made up kind of entity, don't you?
Well, I do, but I think there's lots of enemies of the state in Syria, because I have a friend who's Syrian, and that person believes in an ISIS, in the sense that someone is blowing the place up, and it's not in that person's mind the government. Why would they blow up their own place? So that person believes in ISIS, but ISIS could describe everyone who's not with the Syrian government. It could just be a blanket statement. Now, who's behind it? Who's running it? Who's funding it? Is it a bunch of groups that they just gave this convenient label to? Because it's a lot easier to describe a ragtag bunch of anti-government forces with one word. When you brand something, it's easier to identify.
Yeah, but to your point, it could be some kind of paid provocateur.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, they could just take people from the United States and dress them up and whatever, and have them give them trucks and guns and have them run rampant. I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm fascinated by this stuff, because I want to know what's going on in everyday life, and I kind of know that most of what I believed was my life until I was probably 46 or 47. Was
yeah.
A bunch of, was made up, right?
Yeah.
That's not a good feeling to figure that out.
No. Agreed.
And, I kind of believe like you, because I think I've heard you say a couple times, it's kind of a relief to know that a fake event like a Sandy Hook or whatever, that no people were actually killed.
Right.
But it's still pretty creepy to think that people would use that kind of propaganda on the people of the United States. And obviously we are probably good targets, right? Because I don't have a lot of people to talk to down here about this, I can tell you that.
Well, most people have no one to talk to when it comes to all this. That's for sure.
Well, that's why I like Eric, and you would love that kid, because I don't know why, you know, I don't know why some people catch on to it younger in life. It took me a long time. It took me by, I think it was the, you know, the first time that Obama got elected, and I was looking at, then I started sniffing out politics like, this can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started looking at other things like 9/11 and stuff and figured out, wow, nothing's right. You know, once you get started, so I know you're doing, you're looking into like flat earth and stuff. I haven't looked into that at all, Ab.
Well, it's been put in front of me. It's been put in front of me and I don't have much choice. It's not really something I thought a lot about before, but it's there. It's the elephant in the room and it's what they want us to look at. So I'm looking at it. There's lots of people that I like that don't believe in it at all, but that's all everyone's talking about. And I see both sides of the issue. And I see it as a potential psyop as well. I see all angles. I'm discussing and entertaining all facets of it. And it's fascinating.
But you have a skeptical, analytical mind, right?
Very, yeah. I'm looking at it from all angles. There's no answer for it right now. I think I'm amazed at the energy that people are spending on this, though. They did not spend this energy on 9/11.
That's insane.
There's, yeah. Well,
I'm with you though. That's suspicious.
Well, it was until this flat Earth came along and literally knocked it right off the front pages. For me, anyway. And 9/11 is solved for me. There's not much left to say in my mind. Everything that's being said now is just old recycled material.
Right.
Nothing new has come up. So the flat Earth discussion is fascinating because I think that there's so many people talking, whereas with 9/11, there's only a few people talking. And at least all these people are distrustful of the official stories of everything we're learning. So that's the only real – that's one of the very positive things I can think of from this flat earth group that's out there. Now, a lot of them don't have the right idea about what happened on 9/11, but then again, maybe the way I look at things hasn't been marketed very well.
It probably hasn't, but there's probably a reason for that, right?
Well, that means everyone else doing the marketing has been better. Judy Wood has more prominence than September Clues and Simon Shack's idea.
Yeah, but
what happened.
That's because,
why is that?
It's because the opposition has a lot more funding.
Yeah. Well, you don't think it's because she's more believable? It's just because
think she's more out in front and can be marketed. Like you said, I think guys like Alex Jones are out there. Fetzer. I haven't listened to all these guys. I listened to Jones for a little while when I was very, very first starting, but.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't sniff him out as a bad guy within a month, then.
Well, he's just hard to listen to. I couldn't listen to him over and over again, plus all the commercials.
Well,
but
I think he's trying to stir up animosity, though, right?
Well, he's an agitator. You could say he's what's his name? The Cerucci guy. Johnny Cerucci says he's a Jesuit coadjutor, which I think is just someone who's there to just promote a certain way of thinking and agitating and making waves, making things happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not trying to help anything. And, yeah, I heard your conversation with Cerucci. He's good.
I enjoy him.
I liked him. So down here, I think they're really trying to ratchet up racial tensions.
Well, I think they always have.
Well, yeah, but I live in St. Louis, so Ferguson was a big, big story. Did you cover that one?
No, I followed it, but it didn't interest me. None of the racial psyops interest me. But it was a big deal, I guess, for you, huh?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, in the fact that it's so close to my city, you know, and then you always got that, little bit of an emotional attachment to your own area. I've heard you say that before, so it was easier for me to kind of sniff it out. I mean, because I even knew, you know, I knew a guy that was a cop down there, and I know this guy's a good guy. I haven't talked to him a lot since he's been down there, but don't you wonder how many protesters are paid and how much of that's real, how much is made up and all? Even the original shooting or whatever triggered the whole event.
Mm-hmm.
How can you trust any part of the story?
Well, you can't.
And I'm not going to go down to a riot to figure it out.
No, you're not. Even if it happens right in your hometown or right around the corner, you're not going to do it. I agree.
Yeah, I wondered what was going on, but there was no way I was driving my car up there to check.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't get very close anyway, I don't think.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's these things are well managed.
I'm concerned about the racial, you know, the ratcheting up of racial tension just because, I mean, I'm not falling for it personally. And that's why I don't like calling out one single group as the group or whatever, you know, the bad guys or, but, yeah, I mean, they're playing us. They're playing white against black and American versus Mexican, and it's just all a mess. I mean, there obviously is no attention paid to our border, so I don't blame anybody that comes up through our southern border, you know, because if our politicians wanted to fix that problem, it'd already be fixed.
No doubt. Yeah, they're there. It's a porous border for a reason.
Yep, it's for a reason, and I think it's made for try to ratchet that racial tension up, to be honest with you. And I think there's a high incar- I mean, we're the incarceration capital of the world, right? We lock up more people than anybody.
I know, that's what they say. I wonder if it's true.
It's a pretty big industry. Yeah, I wonder if it's true too. Now that you say that, what can you believe, right?
Well, it's a good question. I'm trying to find the movie, The Babushkas of Chernobyl.
Yeah, if you got any, I saw that numerology guy that you posted. I haven't really dug into numerology or whatever. That was a wild. I almost didn't understand what the guy was saying, you know what I mean? He takes all these names and figures out the numerology and...
Yeah.
His name is everything.
Zach Hubbard. He's good, though. He's good. He's predicting President Biden on May 23rd. Have you heard that?
Is that the... I mean, was that what was posted up there? Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was Zach Hubbard. He thinks there's going to be a simulated assassination.
Well, I don't talk to my wife about this stuff very much, but I told her about that because I said, "Hey, I saw this guy on your website. I don't really understand exactly what he's talking about with all this numerology stuff, but I want to tell you just in case it happens so that you know before." Because she's always like, after an event, I'll say, that's not real. And she'll be like, I already knew the answer before it happened. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I call everything fake now, so she doesn't believe, not everything can't be fake to her.
No, I understand.
But, she's good. Good, though, because she doesn't stop me from, exploring and talking somewhat, but she does get tired if I go on and on. So I got a limited amount of conversation I can have there.
Yeah, if your wife's not on board, there's not much you can do about it.
Well, it's one of those things where how can you almost can't get halfway on board, you know what I mean?
Well, you're either in or you're out, I guess, in this one.
That's kind of what I think, and I think that's why Americans don't really like it, because we have our comfort zone, you know what I mean?
Well, it's not just Americans, it's anybody.
But, I mean, don't you think we're more susceptible?
Well, I've done a post called the Great American PSYOP, where Americans are conditioned to thinking there's nothing outside the world other than America. And that America's the best country in the world and nothing comes close. And, you know, obviously there's some points that are probably true about what they're saying, but it's encouraging Americans just to look in and not look out. And, there's no point in looking outside the country because America's the greatest and that's that. Don't waste your time. And that may not be totally true, but that's what most people believe. So they really kept kept everything internalized.
Yeah.
And I said that the internet may have been very, very good for Americans, because now they can see there's a world outside of America. Whereas everyone else outside of America knows what's in America all the time, because that's all we ever hear about on the worldwide media, because you guys, America controls the media.
And I can see why people grow resentful of America. I mean, looking at it from a worldwide view, I mean, we're involved in every war, and that can't be good. I'm just very anti-war.
I mean, I think most people are.
It's hard to step up and say that around here anymore, though, because people think you're, you know, being against the troops or non-military or whatever. You know what? I know a lot of people that have been in it and it was a great job for them or whatever, but.
Well, it's an industry. It's the American industry. It's hard to go against the industry that keeps the country going, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to say it too loud sometimes.
Well.
Have you ever studied Pat Tillman, Ab?
No, not too much, but I think that was another controlled event.
You don't think that he really went out there and then got
shot up by friendly fire or deliberately killed?
Yeah.
That story is a little older than, isn't that before 2012?
I don't remember exactly when that was. I mean, I knew the Jessica Lynch thing just never sounded right, but the Tillman thing, at first they said that he got killed by, you know, Afghans. Then
Al-Qaeda.
They said he got killed by friendly fire. And then eventually it starts coming around to where, you know, if he was doing the same thing my friend was doing up there, which is guarding poppy fields with his rifle, maybe he was looking around saying, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the all-American guy and you start and you actually have a platform or a voice public, that could be dangerous. Right?
Well, I don't remember. I don't think I ever looked into it directly. I think I'm just looking on Cruise Forum right now, see what they say about Pat Tillman. But I can't remember enough of the story to make a good analysis of it. I can't really talk about it too much because it looks like it was way back before I even started researching the.
Yeah. Yes. I like kind of going back in time on stuff that I used to have a different opinion of and looking at it with my new mind, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he was a real person or not, but yeah, it says here he was a football player who left the NFL to join the Army right after September 11th. So he's pretty tied into the September 11th hoax in the sense that...
But I could see somebody who really... Okay, so if you're from the United States and you really believe that you were attacked, I could see somebody like him really getting gung-ho about it. I can see very few people quitting a job that pays millions of dollars a year and doing it, which made him a unique, right? A unique story. But I don't see the favorable part of the story if he gets killed by friendly fire at the end. You know, to people that are pro-war. I don't know. Just throwing that out there because that's always been of kind of interest to me. And I'm wondering if you've ever had an expert on that knew about it.
No, I never talked about it much because it's a little bit before the research. Let me see. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia on him, and there's lots of occultic numbers around all his statistics.
Oh, you call it Wikipedia?
Wikipedia, yeah. I didn't come up with that. Simon Shack.
I kind of caught that.
Simon Shack. Well, it's just open for – the whole idea of something open is that anyone can manipulate it who has the time and effort. And it's the whole idea about something open is that any errors will be corrected quickly, but if someone's paid to constantly edit Wikipedia, then it totally defeats the whole purpose and makes it totally open for manipulation. So it's just the double-edged sword where something that can be used for really good is most likely being used for really bad. So yeah, it's been positioned as the absolute source for all information just because it's so open, but I think it's just being used by the people that have the time and the effort and the money to control the message, unfortunately, like everything else. Wow. The intelligence services are behind most of every bit of information and information tool we have. That's their job, to foment culture and foment public opinion. And I
know what?
I
know I haven't broken out of all my programming. Even though I've been like listening to you and studying this stuff on my own. I mean, I've had years and years of TV exposure. So
I'm just looking around here and see what we got.
So, Ab, do you remember the – did you ever watch the Batman that had Jim Carrey as the Riddler?
I think I did. I watched a couple Batmans, but that's just not my interest. But –
Well, in that one, Jim Carrey had this thing called the Box. And you know what? I think they input – you know, Hollywood inputs like sprinkles in a little bit of truth, and the bad guy, the Riddler, was like put in a box in every home in the United States and gaining power from it while dumbing down the people. And I think that's really kind of a true story when it comes to television and what we've all grown up with, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me just see what Zach says about it. Let's see. Apparently the Hoover Dam Bridge is the Pat Tillman Memorial Bridge. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Let's see if you can hear this.
Some relevance to that?
Toyota and Honda already. I have some blog posts from about a year back on those companies.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this ad is really curious because this bridge here is the bridge that was recently constructed to bypass the Hoover Dam. It's part of Route 93, like the number Thelema, Arizona with Pythagorean gematria sums to 39, the flip of this 93. This is in Arizona. This ad shows the bridge broken, and it doesn't show the Hoover Dam either, which is close by. curious. And it's for the new Camry. And the ad starts with this little poem, Started My Camry. And as it happens, started is a 33 word with the S exception. And I don't think that's an accident, you guys, because Toyota has very interesting gematria. Toyota, in simple English gematria, sums to 96. Just like the words Freemason, knowledge, Satanism. Toyota Camry sums to 156. If you've seen my post on The Truman Show, the movie, that film was released on the 156th day of the year. And the main character's name is Truman Burbank, which sums to 156, just like Toyota Camry. The word God in English gematria sums to 156. So you see the relevance of this number. This is a number of importance, of power. And that's what this is what I largely talk about, Truth Seeker. These words, they have these hidden meanings that haven't been taught to us. We all learned the alphabetic order as children, but we were never taught gematria and the fact that our language is built on this practice of numbers within words. That's why there is a letter sequence. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. The word the sums to 33. In Jewish gematria, it sums to 113. These are two of the most coded numbers, and they're found within the word the, a word that we write in almost every sentence. So another thing is they have this word bold, bolded. Bold is 2 plus 15 plus 12 plus 4, 17, 29, 33. Bold is a 33 word. Last year's Super Bowl was known as the boldest and coldest. So anyway, Truth Seeker, we're seeing a lot of numbers here. When we find these numbers, when we see this imagery, there's more to it. And earlier this year, I also did a blog post on the curiosities about this bridge before I even saw this ad. It is named the Michael Callahan Pat Tillman Memorial Bridge. This is a former politician from the state. This is a former football player who resigned from the NFL to go fight in Afghanistan and was killed by friendly fire over there in a story where a real conspiracy was later revealed. There were hearings about it. There was a cover-up for the way Pat Tillman died. Anyhow, look at this. This bridge cost $114 million to build, it said. This number has everything to do with Assassination and Destruction 114. Better yet, the name Michael Callahan sums to 114. Currently, we're in...
There's only a couple more minutes. You want to keep listening?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
The
114th Congress, which was decided on 11-4, it's headed by John Boehner, which is a name just like this. John Boehner equals 114. These numbers are no joke, Truth Seeker. JFK was shot from 411 Elm Street. The flip of that, on 11-22. Plus 22 is 33. Flight 93 on 9-11 had 33 passengers. The World Series was in Arizona and New York after September 11th. Arizona and New York are the only two states with a 39 gematria, the flip of that 93. Also, the name Pat Tillman sums to 118, which was the original 911 in some countries. So this number also has the 911 affiliation. So we see all these numbers on this bridge. Plus, we see all these other numbers from the other stuff we're documenting. And now Toyota is even putting before our eyes an advertisement that's just, you can't even explain it, Truth Seeker. Started My Camry, rescued a dog. Search for the owners, uncovered a plot. The word uncovered sums to 44 in Pythagorean gematria. Escaped with the evidence, took a leap of faith, left them all behind, kept the dog. Okay, what's that have to do with this? You know, what does that have to do with this imagery? And is this person holding up a field goal as good sign? No, I'm joking, Truth Seeker. It's sad, Truth Seeker. You know what, though? This ad almost makes me think they can't do something at this year's Super Bowl. This is just too blatant. Isn't everyone going to come back and see this and go, hey, Toyota, what's up? Remember, people, I'm saying the Freemasons run all this. Toyota equals 96, just like Freemason. The ranging degrees of Scottish Rite Freemasonry are 31, 32, 33. When you add those three numbers together, you get 96. Freemason knowledge Satanism. Freemasons believe in the supreme being, but what is the supreme being? Perhaps to them it is Satan. Because who else would do stuff this sick, right? All right, Truth Seeker.
Yeah, he didn't say much. I don't think – I'm just looking. I don't see a lot of information about Pat Tillman, but they could have just – I just don't have a lot of comments. There's a lot of numerology that makes the whole thing suspicious, and Alex Jones, it looks like, is one of the big promoters that the government killed him.
Uh-huh. And
that kind of thing. So there's just a lot of confusion around the story, basically. If Alex Jones says one thing, then – it's probably not true.
He's got to say he's got to say some true things to keep some people on, doesn't he? Or is he?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I would say so for sure. Okay. But I think he always makes it sound like everyone's being killed.
As opposed to
he'll take the conspiratorial angle that the government is killing everybody. And they have no qualms. And if you step in their way, they will kill. And this Pat Tillman would be an example of that, you see. But what if the hoaxsters just use Pat Tillman as an example to keep people in line, but they don't actually kill him, they just reassign him and redefine him or re-identify him. I think that's the preferred method. That's how you get people to go along with these things.
Yeah. And for his trouble, they'd probably pay him handsomely, right?
They just pay him a salary. You don't even have to be paid handsomely. All these liars and cheaters, they're just given a salary. I think that's how it goes. And you say, well, how can you keep them quiet? Well, how do you keep quiet at work? How do you keep quiet from, keep in line from sharing all your company secrets if you have a good job? The answer is you get paid next week and the week after.
Hey, when I'm on the air, I love my job, Ab.
Of course.
Yes. I really do, actually. But
if you're
I see what you're saying.
Though,
you make a valid point there. Wow.
If you're in the military, you take orders and you're just going to do your job. Okay, your job is, we're going to reassign you so you can have a different name, but the name Pat Tillman no longer carries on. And you'll get a salary for keeping quiet, and we'll give you a lifetime job of whatever he's been reassigned to. Maybe he's in PSYOPs. Maybe he's helping plan new fake events. Who knows?
Wow. I don't know, and that. There's just so many weird things. Don't you ever kind of feel like I don't kind of compare myself to Truman Show, but it's kind of a Matrix in a way. Like everything's fake.
Well, the major media stories are definitely manipulated and or manufactured. That still blows my mind every single day. And it's just, there's just, really very few big, well-promoted stories that are real. And I can just go through any newspaper anywhere and pick out a lot of them.
And politics?
It's just entertainment for ugly people, basically.
It does seem like entertainment to me, because this presidential race can't be real.
Well, I think it's real in the sense that it's entertainment. It keeps the media talking, and a lot of laws are probably being passed that nobody pays attention to because they're too busy watching the charade that is the political race that never ends. There's always a race every 2 years.
There's always a debate.
There's always a race every 2 years. You know, there's always an election, just like there's always a war, and a lot of laws are passed, and no one's paying attention to them because nobody cares. Everyone's just busy being entertained with these sideshows. I really think that's how it works. There's a lot, and there aren't too many shows that actually go through and discuss what laws are being passed and what things are being changed. One of the shows I do like is the No Agenda show. I don't really think it's too controlled, if it is controlled at all. And they tend to talk about, Adam tends to dig up a lot of laws that are passed that you would never hear about. They're just so mundane, but they're just chipping away and increasing the federal control of the, over the United States. And just doing more and more federalization, let's put it that way. Which is contrary to the whole spirit of these United States.
Hey, Ab, I wonder, I mean, they always talk about, let me just run something by you and you tell me if this is a feasible thought or not. They always have these mass shootings, right? And the lone gunman thing, right? He guns down all these people, like the Denver theater or Sandy Hook. And everybody's shouting that it's all about gun control. Could it possibly be to scare people and sell more guns?
Well, I think that's the result that it has. But I think really it's just constant manufacturing of fear. And yes, I do think the end game probably would be to slowly get guns out of the hands of people. Most people in the Western world do not have access to firearms in the way Americans do. I think it's a long-term changing of attitudes over generations. The people that rule over us do it over generations. They know things don't happen overnight. So they just create a culture of fear, and eventually they'll create an atmosphere where the people demand that guns or ammunition or limits to firearms occur. Maybe the United States is a lot trickier. A country to rule over because of its decentralized nature and its three pillars of government that tend to gridlock legislation. But in other British colonies like Canada, where they're essentially dictatorships once a majority government gets in and all the power is concentrated into the hands of about five people. In most British Commonwealth countries like Canada, it's called the usually they're called Privy Councils. It's very easy to pass sweeping legislation very quickly on a nationwide basis, where America's a little more complex, and maybe you guys need this kind of internal propaganda, and maybe it's a much slower burn. Otherwise, it just wouldn't be able to be achieved. For instance, to create this massive federal agency called the Department of Homeland Security. Just, that was probably one of the biggest results of 9/11. This massive complex where they just took a lot of disparate agencies and put them under one massive superstructure. I mean, that's fascinating in and of itself, how they created that. They would never have had the impetus to do that without something like 9/11. Whereas after 9/11, they had a couple of years where they had a blank canvas just to do whatever they wanted, and no one was going to step in the way.
Right.
And that, because everyone was on board with go blow up whatever country you want with whatever method possible. And yes, we're going to get behind you and allow you to do whatever you want, with regards to security. Take over all the airport security. Make it a federal issue, whereas before it was just handled on a local level.
Exactly. The Patriot Act is one of the most unpatriotic pieces of legislation ever. But they all they got to do is call it Patriot, right?
Well, yeah, just like at 9/11, all they had to do was put the word live on the television and people believed it. Just for four letters. Just because you see the word live, you think what you're watching is live. That's all it takes to convince you. That's fascinating.
Wow.
Yet there's no proof it was live. None.
It's insane to think, you know, to think of how duped I was.
Well, everyone is duped to this day for the most part. People still buy into the Kennedy assassination. That was much, much earlier. That was one of the first made-for-television hoax events ever. Nobody talks about that event as being a fake event. Even today, almost no one discusses it and looks at it like I do, like Blue Moon does, like Miles Mathis discusses it. You don't hear people talking like that. Simon Schack showed some evidence of how the JFK event was completely hoaxed. You don't hear people talking like that.
Yeah, you really don't. And you can tell when, I mean, the Kennedy, when Kennedy got shot, it looks very realistic, but definitely when Lee Harvey Oswald got shot, that looks completely staged, because they even wait until the gunman goes in there, until he's right in front of the camera, right? It's like...
That was poorly, yeah. Yeah, but the Kennedy assassination, quote-unquote, caught on film, wasn't released for years and years later in the form of the Zapruder film. And that's what we have as evidence to work with, and we can easily see that that was badly manufactured. Now, it was proposed as being real footage, but there's more evidence, in my mind, to support the fact that that was completely made for Hollywood fabrication. The whole thing. Nothing was cut out. The whole thing was faked. The whole thing was fabricated. That's never discussed.
It never really is.
But it's more likely, though. This time they took many, many years to create it. Maybe they were waiting for technology to catch up so they could create something more realistic and believable.
How long was the time difference from when the supposed assassination happened and the Zapruder film was released?
Oh, it was quite a few years. As a matter of fact, I think good old Geraldo Rivera was the one that released it or introduced it.
Well, it's got to be legit then, right?
Absolutely not. No.
I was teasing.
I try not to be sarcastic because I know Chinese people don't understand the concept of sarcasm.
Oh, really? You got Chinese listeners?
Well, maybe. Well, there's supposed to be 1.2 billion Chinese people, so maybe they do listen.
So just in case you're not going to use sarcasm?
That's right.
Yeah, but you do have a good sense of humor, right? I mean, you have to in your line of business.
Yeah, if it was a business.
In your line of, I don't know, what do you call this for you? An extreme hobby or something?
Yeah, but, that's a good way of discussing it. I'm trying to find the year it was released. Lots of occult numbers. It was 26.6 seconds.
See, I don't know how to do the occult number thing with you.
Well, I look for repeating 11s and multiples of 11. That's an easy one, or 9s. That's the easiest way to go.
But wasn't Zach doing 93s and 36s and
well, there, it seems like almost every number can be considered a cult, but it's really the context in which it's used. If there is a preponderance of repeating numbers that are held in high esteem by the occult, if they're all in a cluster together, in a story, then that's a preponderance of evidence, I think. When did this damn thing come out?
I have no idea, but you don't have to research all that.
No, I'm just looking up in Wikipedia. Rivera. Here it is. On March 6, 1975, on the ABC late night television show Good Night America, hosted by Geraldo Rivera. Assassination researchers Robert Groden and Dick Gregory, he's a comedian, for goodness sakes, presented the first ever network television showing of the Zapruder home movie. Okay.
Home movie?
Well, it was a home movie that Freemason, Zapruder, Abraham Zapruder, created.
They always make it sound like one guy's there with a camera that captures the whole thing, right? Are they saying that, okay, I never knew. I haven't really studied that one that much.
Yeah. Well, it's an old one. You really have to go back in history. Not everyone's all that interested in doing that.
Well, you know, they kind of, I guess they had me on the line, though, because I was all gung-ho about, wasn't Bush on the board or whatever, what'd they call that? The Warren Commission?
Can you hold on for one sec?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. All right. Are you?
Oh. Well, you got somebody on the line with you, App?
No. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think it was the first time that Obama got elected, and I was looking at then I started sniffing out politics like this can't be right. Mm-hmm. Then I started looking at other things like 9/11 and stuff, and figured out, wow, nothing's right. You know, once you get started, so I know you're doing, you're looking into like flat earth and stuff.
Hello.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. Sorry.
That was a little bizarre, Ab. You got everything under control now?
I'm trying to control it. Hold on a sec. What's going on? There, now we're better. I thought you were actually saying that, but that was from the past.
Man, it's weird hearing your own voice like that.
Yeah, sorry about that. I got it all under control now.
You're used to listening to your own shows over, aren't you?
I don't really listen to them all that much.
No? Well, they're pretty interesting. You should try it.
Yeah, well, I heard it once is enough. I don't tend to watch movies more than once either, but no, it's okay. I don't have to hear myself talk too often.
All
right. But, there's just so much to talk about, so much to look into. I get, it gets exhausting, but it's all consuming, I think. It just keeps on going year after year after year.
How do you know when the people that you're speaking with are authentic?
Well, you don't. You don't. That's the thing. You just have to hope the conversation goes in an area that's interesting to other people. But no, you don't. You just don't. I know what I think is right. And when the people I'm talking to don't match up with a lot of my beliefs, then I get suspicious.
Yeah, I remember when I called in when you were talking to Simon that first time I ever talked to you guys, and that was
I don't remember. I don't remember you calling in. That's the funny thing.
You have to listen to the archives. It was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I don't expect you to remember. But I remember your skeptical mind going,
what name did you use?
I used my real name.
Okay.
And,
did you phone in, or are we on Skype?
Yeah, I phoned in, so you probably saw a weird, area code. It was probably the area code that had you thinking, who is this guy? Because it was probably 314 or 636 or something.
Well, I don't remember, honestly. That was so you called in to talk to Simon?
Yeah, I called in when you had Simon Shack on because, obviously, he's done excellent. I mean, his site and his research is the best, most exhaustive on 9/11, right?
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that it's not marketed the best and a lot of people don't talk about it is probably more of a case that it is authentic than not.
Yeah, I think so. Well, nothing has changed my mind about it all these years later. And this is year four for me. I'm coming up to my fourth anniversary with this research. So nothing has changed. And that means to me that nothing will change.
I must have started listening to you right when you were starting then.
Yeah. Well, we're almost the same age. You told me you're 49?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I turned 49 in December, so I'm turning 50 this year.
Yeah, well, me too. That's really a scary number, isn't it? That's really scary.
Yeah, I wonder what Zach says about that number.
I just don't like these high numbers. Age-wise, I don't like it.
No.
No? No, I don't. Not at all. I'm doing my damnedest to stay healthy, though. I think that's the game you have to start playing.
Yeah, so what are you doing in order to do that? I mean, I've had some hip sciatica, and I was in a car accident earlier this year, but I got to change my diet, man. Americans, we eat high carb, and it's bad.
Well, I do a lot of juicing. I eat a lot of I've cut a lot of meats. I eat a lot of nuts and seeds, and eat less. I eat less. I try and reach for fruit when I'm hungry. I just always carry fruit and vegetables, and if I want just something to munch on that's already cut up, so I don't have an excuse for starting eating some of it. I don't have to start a whole apple. I can have just a tiny piece of one. Just trying to make things convenient like that.
Yeah, that's good, man, because I fell into, you know, the Midwest, especially in the Midwest, I think. I mean, a lot of people are overweight. Like, I mean, I know I am. I'll admit it to you here.
All right. I can't see you, so I have to take your word for it.
Yeah. Well, it's something I like to brag about all the time. Yeah, I'm overweight. But yeah, I got to cut down on carbs because, you know, I like pizza and stuff like that.
Well, I do too. I like all that stuff, but as long as you're feeding your body properly, I think you can indulge now and then. But as long as your body's getting the base nutrition, I think that'll send you a long way towards good health. If your body doesn't ever get any of that nutrition, then I think that's when there's a problem. So if you have a base of food that you eat to meet most of your caloric needs, then I think a donut here and there isn't going to do anything. But if the donut is your base, then I think you're going to have a problem.
Darn it. You just ruined my day.
I get all my information from different sources and try and make my own.
That's solid information. I'm using way too much sarcasm for your Chinese audience, Ab.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just like to take information from all over the place. I went to a nutritionist. I get a nutritionist newsletter from the farm that I get some of my food from, local farm. I followed the Banana Girl and other people that are vegans. I don't think I could be a vegan because I do like meat. But luckily they price meat really high lately, so I don't have to buy it because it's just crazy high priced. And try and be sensible. Everything in moderation. Try not to be extreme too much.
Yes, sir. Except for your hobby.
Well, everyone needs a hobby, and I always read and followed the media anyway before this. This is nothing new for me. I couldn't wait for the internet to get more ubiquitous because I didn't like get my hands dirty when I used to read all the papers. And I was pretty happy when it all went online. Now, of course, it's going to go away because they don't know how to make money selling news anymore. But the point is that I've always followed the media from a right-wing perspective because I've always considered myself right-wing. But now this whole thing changed 4 years ago when I started researching the IRS, and then I bumped into 9/11. And now I just can't believe the levels of deception. It's amazing. It amazes me even today.
It is. I think when you say that you considered yourself right wing, I think what you're saying is that you considered yourself a conservative, but more in the truer sense of the form, not the, I think they co-opted that word, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it's morphed and changed. I think people should, I've been more of a saver and, just, you shouldn't extend yourself beyond your means. That makes sense to me. You shouldn't borrow more.
Yeah,
than...
right there, Ab. That's called being conservative.
Well, fiscally conservative for sure. And then socially too. I think people should calm down with all their behaviors and indulgences. And, that's just always been the way I've acted. And I didn't preach it. I just acted it. But, I'm pretty surprised that all these deceptions could take place while I'm watching. And that just shows how effective it is. And I consider myself a smart person, and I didn't notice it at all until I started seeing this group of people that discussed it. And where else besides the internet would you have ever found such a group? Not at your local neighborhood coffee shop or bar. No way. You'd
right,
never
and,
find it.
And more accurately, you were deceived because you were watching.
Yeah, I was paying attention.
If you were a blissfully ignorant to the, I mean, that's why I'm kind of glad that I wasn't into history when I was a kid, because I don't have to rethink it and relearn it all, because I didn't really pay attention to that. It didn't interest me when I was a kid. But what does interest me is what you're doing and going back and saying this history is not real. It's just these are the guys that are controlling it. They control the history books.
Yeah.
Of course, we can't point to the specific people, though, right?
Well, you can never point to the specific people because they want to stay hidden. So they put all kinds of other likely believable suspects in front of us. And people throughout history have always blamed certain groups that can't even defend themselves. I'm not even sure how everyone likes to point to the Masons. I think about this all the time because the Masons are a secret organization that keeps secrets. So how can, if you're a secret or secretive organization, how can you defend yourself? Because you're trying to keep a secret. So you're not going to say yay or nay. So it's easy for the people that control the narrative to blame it on a secret society.
But even aren't the Masons compartmentalized in the sense that the low levels don't really know anything about it?
I suppose so. I don't know. I don't know because it's a secret.
But I had a guy show me his secret ring one time because I think he was trying to get me and my buddy to join up. Like he pointed it out. I wouldn't have noticed the guy's ring. He was a telecom manager that we did business with. Really, really nice guy. I mean,
Most Masons are not trying to plot and take over the world.
He didn't seem like he was any, I mean, he was a great, as far as our professional relationship, I found him very funny, very engaging, very, somebody I would hang out with and be friends with. I mean, we didn't have that kind of relationship, but then he showed me his ring and it kind of got weird because I wasn't into joining a.
Well, they don't recruit. You have to ask to join. And
yeah,
I've heard that from a number of Masons. I actually started talking about the Masons with a person I knew, and of course I realized before I started shooting my mouth off, I said, by the way, are you a Mason? He said, as a matter of fact, I am. So then I realized that I better be quiet and better be careful. And then he explained a few things to me, but nothing much, but he did make it clear that you can't, they don't recruit, you have to ask to join. So.
But I'm pretty sure that my wife's grandmother, her second husband, not my wife's grandfather, but a different guy, I think he was a Mason, and we went to his funeral and it was weird, man.
Well. Maybe it's different. I don't know. I've never been to one, so I wouldn't know. But the point is,
it was ritualistic. Well, I guess all funerals are to in a sense.
Oh, for sure. But the thing is, I didn't even know about the Masons before I started doing this research. I'd heard the name. Of course, I knew Shriners because I've been to parades. I've been in parades and the marching band and whatnot, but I had no idea the level. So this is all real new to me. Or was at the time. And I'm amazed I can go out throughout my whole adult life and not know about it. I'm amazed you can go through so much of your life and not know about so much. That's what's amazing to me.
Well, I'm even more amazed that people don't want to know.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
I guess they don't want their world turned upside down. Me and you didn't mind, I guess, so much. I mean, it was kind of a shock to the system, right, at first?
Well, of course. It was, I detailed all my paths. If you go to fakeologist.com, go on to the top and click on rabbit trails, you'll see what I went through. I don't have to describe it again to the audience.
Yeah, I think I've looked at that before, Ab.
Yeah, good.
You went through a lot of... I was wondering if... I mean, you've been doing this a while. I mean...
Yeah.
Have you felt any burnout from it, or...?
Well, yes, I suppose. I just don't feel like re-explaining my position a million times over.
Yeah, and you don't need to. I mean, I think I know you pretty good from listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just also amazed that there's not too many new voices coming on the scene. You're the first new voice I've heard in a while, which is great. But I guess people aren't that interested. When I started talking about Flat Earth, the blog hits went through the roof, that's for sure.
Really?
Yes.
Man, I don't know what's wrong. I just really don't have an interest in it. Like, maybe I should. My dogs are starting to knock at my door because they're hungry. Every day at about this time, I got a little Yorkie and a Yorkie poodle mix.
And well, you got to take care of them.
Yeah, I better let them in just to let them run around.
Go ahead. I got a few more minutes to chat if you want.
Sure. Come on, guys. I'll let these guys in. They won't bother us much. But yeah, I mean, I've always been fascinated with your show, with your guests, and with your positions, and found you authentic. But I don't think that there's many people in what you do that are authentic. I think there's more rabbit trails than there are good guys, and that's just the way it'll always be, because it's probably more lucrative to be a rabbit trail guy, right?
Say that again?
I'm saying that there's probably more deceptive people doing what you do than authentic people.
Okay, yeah, probably.
Because it's more lucrative for them to be that way, right? If they're paid to throw people off the course?
I suppose. It doesn't pay to be truthfully. I'm not doing it for the money either, so, and I have obviously scaled way back, because it's without new voices and new ideas to talk about, it does become repetitive and boring, and if it wasn't a job, then I wouldn't do it, just like I wouldn't do my real job if I wasn't paid. I'm pretty sure about that. So anyone that's doing it all the time, relentlessly, I'm honestly suspicious of them. And that really goes for a lot of the Flat Earth people. I just don't understand the motivation.
I don't understand the concept of how it can't be round, but...
Well, I understand that perfectly, because this is my favorite topic with regards to PSYOPs, and I am fascinated about how people can be persuaded and or convinced of something. That's really what it all boils down to. And I love discussing and hearing people talk about that. And the only way we can convince people of our way of thinking about 9/11 is to use all the tactics that the military uses to convince everyone of the official stories of 9/11 and JFK. And that requires a huge budget and massive brain power and massive organization, none of which I have.
And I think if you tried to organize in some kind of manner like that, you might be putting yourself in danger if it ever really grew roots. You know what I mean?
Well, it would be disrupted and co-opted, but I don't necessarily know it would be in danger. It's so easy to make a group disrupt a group. It's akin to kicking over an anthill.
All you do is
just mess it up, and then it takes 10 times or 100 times that time it took to kick over the sandcastle to rebuild.
So isn't that kind of what Simon thinks that it might be happening with the flat earth thing?
Yeah. And he's probably right.
He makes a legitimate point, I think. I mean.
Well, he doesn't know everything about everything, but he's very smart and I respect his opinion and he could be very well right. But I don't know if it's a cover of a cover in the sense that, well, I'm pretty sure that if you look at the history of the Ball Earth, it has a very suspicious genesis, how it started, if you believe the official story about how it all got going with Copernicus.
But I had a globe in the fifth grade.
And by the way, Judy Wood, who is probably one of the leading deceivers in alternative theory about how the Twin Towers were destroyed, she celebrates Copernicus's birthday. I don't know if anyone noticed that post on fakeologist.com, but she mentioned that in one of her interviews. She goes out of her way to celebrate Copernicus's birthday. Now she mentioned that not in the context of the flat earth, but, or helio or geocentrism, but in discussing 9/11 with a talk show host I listened to. I thought that was fascinating. Now, why would she bring that up?
You got me because.
Well, maybe it's part of her routine when she's got to be given instructions now and then. If she is also a paid deceiver, which I don't know, but again, how does she make a living?
Well, you know she's a deceiver, don't you?
I don't know if she's a paid deceiver. That's all. I couldn't prove it without a pay stub.
No, we can't prove any of this. We're just going by, you know, using our minds and
yeah.
But we know there was no special weapon or some kind of crazy nuclear thing that took towers down.
I'm certain that is correct. I'm certain.
I'm certain that they were taken down with
there's only
like
one
other
real worldwide company, Controlled Demolition International. I post their videos all the time. All their videos are beautifully choreographed. They're beautifully done. I wonder if they show their mistakes or disasters.
No, I mean, but that's the only thing that makes sense because you're showing a company that's paid to do it and take them down. And if the best way to take down buildings was to fly airplanes into it, then that's what they'd be doing.
Yes, of course.
We know that that's ludicrous. I just don't see
you're right.
People can believe that story.
Well, I do because the official government story is what is pounded out there day in and day out, and people believe their government. They just don't believe their government would lie to them.
Yeah.
Or people that say they're the government. You see, that's the other thing. The government or the few people that can control the story are the ones doing the lying. And that's all the media operatives, of course. Most of the people that were witnesses and quoted were all part of the media. They're all paid to lie. They're all liars for hire, like Matt Lauer, liar. So that's the tie that binds all those people together. But of course, CDI seems to be the only worldwide company that advertises how great a job they do of blowing stuff up perfectly into small little piles without any collateral damage. They do it brilliantly. They're fantastic at it.
It was the world's biggest magic show, right? It kind of reminds me of, you know how, some of those Las Vegas magicians would just like make something huge disappear, whatever. That's what they did.
Well, they did it with the backing of the media, and that's the only difference.
Backing of the media and the military, right? That's your belief?
Well, yeah, the media, the military has its own media division, PSYOPs division, and then the media that relies on military funding to a degree, maybe through different companies or intermediary companies, for sure.
Yeah, I think me and you've been on the same page all along.
Good. Well, that's cool. I wanted to argue with somebody.
No, oh, yeah, that's how they sell television, right? That the red, blue, left, right.
Oh, yeah. You need disagreement. People love disagreement. That's what people look for when they're.
I hate confrontation. I lose arguments with my wife all the time just because I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, you can either be right or you can be married. You ever heard that saying?
There you go. There's a lot of truth to that. But fortunately, my wife is awesome and doesn't take advantage of that.
That's great.
Just good in case she ever listens to Fakeologists, right?
She should.
She ought to. I can't get her to listen to any of this. I can't even get her to listen to No Agenda.
Oh, do you like No Agenda?
Yeah, I'm a little bit bummed out that they're stuck on the election thing so much right
now.
Yeah,
they're really stuck on it. Yeah, I know.
They seem like they're almost backing Trump or something. But I do think that they're both good personalities, John and Adam, and I think they work well together. And
yeah,
I've never donated because I always have some reluctance with giving money because if they're not authentic, I don't want to give money. Because I gave money to Ron Paul once, and then when I heard you say he's probably not authentic.
Well, he might have been authentic for a little bit. I don't know. I tried to give money to him, actually, but they wouldn't take it from I don't know how I tried, but
I did some kind of – well, I donated to his campaign, but here's what I think happens, Ab, and let me – do you think this is a viable theory or option?
Yeah.
A guy like Ron Paul, he's in the Congress, right, for all these years, and he votes right down the line constitutionally.
Yeah.
Doing that, he really doesn't have any big influence, except people like me notice that and are looking at voting records, and that's exactly who we want to vote for and we would give our money to. So he ended up raising a lot of money, but never going anywhere because he was never going to go anywhere. So that was just a way to skim money off people like me, I think.
Well, I don't know where the money went. Do you? Did he just take it? Or did he have to give it back? Or I don't know.
Well, what happens in a campaign? I think when people donate to him, that's their money to do with what they want. I mean, I think they put out so many commercials and whatever. But when they drop out of the race, they still have whatever money they raised, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess it just takes – I guess what it does is it's like an energy sink. It just takes people's energies away and diverts them and makes people think that politics makes a difference in the end, which I guess it really doesn't, because the people – the trillionaires that control the intelligence agencies, they're the ones that make things happen.
Well, right when I'm checking out of politics and I'm not even thinking about voting this time, but my 13-year-old son is now interested because he goes to school and talks about it. But, you know, I don't want to discourage him from taking a path or whatever, but he knows my views, right? So what are your thoughts on that? How do you teach your kids?
I guess if you just have to be true to yourself and just tell them what you think.
And that's what I'm doing. I don't want to discourage him from, because it was probably about that age that I started, you know, thinking about it. And I was excited when I first got to vote, right? Well, that was a joke. I tell you what,
Yeah.
From the time I started voting, I started looking for like third party guys. Like I voted for Ross Perot, and I knew something
yeah,
was wrong
I like
with the
Ross
whole
Perot.
System, and wanted yep. something to change. But you know, 30 years later, I figured it. I beat my head against the wall for 30 years with voting, and found out it does nothing.
Well, it doesn't make any great big change. Maybe on a local level it can, if you want a road stopped or a building stopped, that kind of thing. But yeah, on a great macro scale, just corporations rule the day, really.
Yeah.
Did you see that link I put into the Skype chat?
I'm sorry?
I put a link in the Skype chat there. Did you see that?
Let me, I see some, like a little cloud up in the right hand corner. Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see it.
You might like that.
Taking a look. It's downloading. I see Twin Towers.
That's what we're talking about, isn't it? That was just that just came through on my blog.
I'm glad I didn't do that on a work computer app.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I should have warned you.
No, you're all right. It's just iPad. Yeah, the plane flying into the towers. That's about as real as it was.
Yeah. When I posted
actually, those
chat,
are more. Those are most, more real.
They look real too, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I would say yes because. As a fakeologist, you need to study these things.
You do. Yeah, my wife says if they don't stand up after a certain age, then they're real.
There you go. Do you have kids, Ab?
I do. I do, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to take it, you know, take it like you said, kind of. He knows my point of view, and he knows that I think a lot, I mean... Even my son, though, he's 13. He didn't think the moon landing happened. He said, yeah, right, Dad. They landed on the moon before they invented flat-screen TVs.
Well, that's pretty cool of them. That's good. I didn't really get into every – that's good. That's good. That's good to hear. Well, he wasn't indoctrinated with it, but, of course, now the children today hear about the ISS. That's all they ever hear about.
ISIS?
No, the International Fake Station, ISS. That's the only relevant space thing that's being promoted today.
Oh, that's real?
No, I'm saying that's the only thing that's being promoted today to children, the International Fake Station.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he's exposed to, I mean, he was in private school for a long time, but it was a small school and I just moved him to public school. So he's 13. So he's got a lot of I feel like he's a lot grounded, but, he's doing good. He's a smart kid and he'll figure it all out. So I don't have to force him my way. I don't think he's got a political mind.
You can just expose it to him. Give him both sides. Tell him to look into it himself. Look at both sides of the story and make his own decisions. This is what his dad has come to conclude, and you don't have to conform exactly. If he wants to talk to you, he probably should, but otherwise he should make his own opinion. But
yeah.
That's a healthy thing to say to him.
I agree.
My children know about my fakeology. I don't really bring it up at the dinner table because they're not interested, just like I wouldn't want to hear too much about their the movies they like or the music because I'm not really that into it. And otherwise, if a story is brought to my attention, I'll give my 2 cents about it. But nobody wants to hear more than a couple sentences anyway, and that's fine.
Same thing at my house, so that sounds familiar. Yep, at least, your wife at least respects your hobby, right?
She doesn't get in the way of it. We don't get in the way of each other.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well, that's what marriage is all about. Giving each other space and tolerating each other's strengths and weaknesses.
I totally agree, because my wife and I are so different, but it works out so good, because the things that I'm weaker at, she's better at, and the things that I'm better at, she's weaker at, so it all blends out nicely.
Very good. Well, I think I'm just about ready to head off. But I've got your Skype, so we should do another chat sometime if you want. I don't do too many Saturday or Sunday evening chats anymore, but I saved this one if you're okay with it. We haven't said anything too exciting, but it's still interesting maybe to people who want to just hear two people that never met talk about 9/11. So with your permission, of course, I'll put it up.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'll see if I could find get a chance with you can meet Eric, because he's, like I said, I mean, having that military mind, and he's completely broken out of it at a young age, which is kind of fascinating to me, right? Because I just think that's interesting.
It will be
military, and he's all the way out of it. He's all the way out of it, right? He couldn't wait to get out.
I'm sure. All right, so maybe we'll just talk with him. Now that you're on Skype, I'll be able to see you, of course, when you log in, and I'll just see if you want to chat here and there. And download TeamSpeak, if you would. That's a good way to audio chat with other people and have it recorded automatically.
Okay.
TeamSpeak. Go to fakeologist.com/chat/audio chat. I believe that's the link. Or maybe it's just, let me see here, fakeologist.com/audio chat. Does that bring you to the right place? Let's see. Yeah, it does. Yeah. That gives you instructions on how to install it.
Excellent. Well, hey, it's good talking to you.
It was good talking to you. And also, send me an email to list-subscribe@fakeologist.com. And get on our mailing list where we just pass emails around. And don't forget, we got another sub-blog called savechat.fakeologist.com as well. Savechat.fakeologist.com.
Excellent. Okay.
There's so much for you to check out. But great talking to you. Great talking to you, Jay.
Yeah, you too, Ab. Thank you.
Okay, keep in touch.
You bet. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Therillium, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.